welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an amazing day today. Dad is taking a few minutes to get logged into the Skype. He should be with us here shortly. So I got a bunch of different articles today we can go over. This is interesting now. This is pretty crazy. The Czech president over in Europe, Milo Zeman, has now completely reversed his stance on gun control for the country. In light of the recent terror attacks in Europe, he's now calling for a new law that would allow citizens to be armed to defend themselves. He previously has been against private gun ownership. He now is saying that citizens should be able to arm themselves to deal with the threat of terrorism. He states, "Earlier I spoke often about limiting the ability to have large quantities of weapons, but after the terrorist attack, I have changed the idea." Zeman also called for a fence to be built along the country's border if there is a large inflow of illegal immigrants, he says, while also urging failed asylum seekers to be deported more quickly. "Condemning terror attacks is easy," he said. "The only solution is doing away with the causes." And what he's referring to is the massive influx that they're getting into that country. And then on top of that, you start arming the citizens and training them properly. A lot of this stuff slows down significantly. Even in Germany now, firearms and guns have been pretty much all but taken away. We've talked about that before. They can still carry non-lethal, such as flares, blank guns, gas, pepper spray, tasers. And what's crazy now, the request in Germany for self-defense weapons permits has hit a record high this year, all-time high. As of June 2016, there were 402,000 small-arm carry permits in the National Weapon Registry. This figure is almost 50% higher than last year, where there were less than 270,000 requests in the first half of 15. People are starting to wake up and they're sick of it. People want to be able to defend themselves, and they realize now that they can't rely on their government for protection because the government can do nothing for them. So I found that pretty interesting. You on the show with us, Dad? I thought I heard you a second ago.
Oh, I am, buddy. I apologize, sir. We had a problem with the Skype hookup. You know, here's the thing with Merkel. Okay, I don't even know what to say about, you know, they've got themselves a Hillary Clinton in office right now. That's what this is all about. A Barack Obama wannabe in office right now. Remember, she's a globalist puppet, and she's just what she is. And let me read this real quick article here from Sleuth Journal, and it says German Chancellor Merkel has been very vocal in support of welcoming the growing tsunami of Islamic immigrants from the war-torn Middle Eastern countries. The United States globalist leaders are directly responsible for unleashing the onslaught of immigrants and terrorists from Europe. It has been a purposeful effort to destabilize and weaken Europe. And tyrant George Soros has been the leading champion behind the elite's problem-reaction-solution effort to rid Europe of its individual sovereign nations and national identities. The blithering idiot Angela Merkel, which I added, could care less about the citizens of Germany. That's the truth. They told me that my relatives have. From the economic weakening of the German economy to the U.S.-induced European sanctions against Russia, to the obvious weakening of German nationality, favoring the protection of unwanted Middle Eastern immigrants from the religion of peace against the interest and safety of German citizens, Merkel exhibits no legitimate concern for stemming the immigration problems. Here is a political quote from the deeply concerned, Merkel. "Who is we, Angela?" This is, you're going to love this. "The elite to whom you pledge your allegiance, doing everything human possibly, everything except dealing with the source of the undermining security of Germans. How about you using reality as a guide for your political decisions? The German anxiety and fear are real and demand attention and protection over the misdirected protection of a handful of immigrant terrorists." This has gotten so bad in Germany, Austin, that people are demanding by the thousands, by the tens of thousands now, to get rid of her and basically impeach her and get her out of office. It's crazy. And remember, Clinton will epitomize the worst in every politician. It's going to be worse in this country if we get her in office. It is hard to get people to change their beliefs, especially when it comes to religion and politics. Anyone who takes the time to research the facts will have an incredible political awakening about who Clinton really is. And this fear and anxiety that Merkel has caused in Europe is going to be throughout the entire world now. She has to be replaced, Austin. Somebody has to go in and impeach this woman and get rid of her. This is absolutely critical that we do this. And I don't even know how to say that any more clearly than the article did, because we've talked about George Soros. We've talked about all of this stuff. These are globalists. They don't want a United States of America. They don't want a EU. They want a United, you know, States of the World, or a United Countries of the World Empire under the Rothschild Vatican control, with a Luciferian government who worships Lucifer, to bring in a one world religion to worship Lucifer. Again, this is all about the fallen angels doing their dirty work again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon us upon the Lord's return. So, guys, that's how it works. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to promote a lot of these guys in here. Even King Obama went on some tear the other day, you know, and I don't think in history I've ever seen a current sitting president that's been so verbal about opposing an opponent as far as this in the race. He's been in for 8 years. He has no bear in this race. He has nothing to say. But yet every time we turn around, he's constantly putting down Trump. The other day now, he was on a press release over there in Singapore, and he just started going off, basically saying that he's woefully unprepared and he doesn't have the judgment or temperament or understanding to occupy the Oval Office, and he's woefully unfit, and just completely slamming him. And what's so crazy about this is he needs to look in the mirror and see what a blithering idiot he is and all the nonsense that he does all the time, and just is absolute total joke to the entire world. But it's interesting that you can see now this landscape of the mainstream media and everything that's going on is they're really trying to prep and get as many people brainwashed as they can to bring in, as you just said, this Luciferian globalist agenda. And that's what the whole globalist agenda, that's what it's all based on. I've had a lot of people bring that up to me. They say, you know, well, globalism is this and it's good for this. And as far as trading and moving product and inventory and marketing, yes, I understand that concept. But an overall total globalization of what the New World Order wants to bring in is nothing short of Satanism out of Revelation. There's no question about it. That's what it's pushing. So everybody needs to understand that when they see these guys like Obama and Merkel and these guys at the top peaks of this, they're there for a reason. That's why we have to do everything we can, as Dad just said, to get them out of office and try and prevent anybody like that again from reoccupying those areas, because if not, they're just going to do the same thing, and it's going to get worse and worse and worse, as we've already seen here in the United States over the past 30 years.
Well, you know, what it comes back down to, and I'm going to get a little bit Russ Dizdar on everybody, and I need to bring him on as a guest one day. I interviewed him twice on the Power Hour, and he wrote a book called The Black Awakening. A lot of this has to do with demonic possession. Now you're probably, a lot of you are rolling your heads. Oh, here goes Ted again. He's going to start talking about the demon stuff again. Guys, listen to me. There's a higher power running this planet right now, and it's not Yahweh. I mean, Lucifer is the god of this earth, okay? Adam and Eve kind of did a stupid thing and turned it over to Lucifer, okay? The craziest thing about this is that God is still in control of heaven in the 13th dimension and on down, but the reality is he only intervenes via prayer and through the righteousness of man now when he needs to. But the airwaves, Hollywood, the newspapers, the media, the sacrificed satanic networks that are out there, Ted Gunderson exposed them, the demon possession at these rituals they do in which they feed these demons, allow them to come into their bodies. I mean, we've talked about this at length. We talked about how the chemtrails of the Morgellons and all these things are being used to further the AI, the artificial intelligence mind, from a logistics standpoint. And you can call them aliens, you can call them fallen angels, whatever you want to call them. I don't care what you call them. It's what it is. They're a bunch of demons and evil things that are lurking around. This battle's been going on for eons of time, and they want to use human beings as their vessels. And Malachi Martin wrote several books on demonic possession that you guys probably can try to read. I couldn't get through one of them. It was so horrible. I mean, you know, just there's all kinds of stuff out there with all of this stuff involved that you can read about. I try not to focus on it too much because it gets too weird. But like this, after school club are now allowing Satan clubs to come into your kid elementary school. Doug Messner, who goes by the professional name Lucian Graves, is co-founder and spokesman for the Satanic Temple, a group of political activists who are seeking to establish after-school Satan clubs as a counterpart to fundamentalist Christian good news clubs, which are seen as an attempt to infiltrate public education and erode the constitutional separation of church and state. This is from the Washington Post, super liberal rag. This is from Salem, Massachusetts. It's a hot summer night, and the leaders of the Satanic Temple have gathered in the crimson-walled living room of a Victorian mansion in this city, renowned for its witch trials of the 17th century. They're watching a video in which children dance around the maypole and a spider crawls across the face of a clown and promoting their satanic agenda. They want to have after-school programs with Satanism through the Satanic Temple. And guys, a couple years ago, when my children were at All Saints University and they were bringing in Kwanzaa and bringing in Hanukkah and all of this stuff at a Christian school, I talked to the headmaster there, the principal, and I said to him, you've got to stop this political correct garbage. I said, this is total crap. I said, what happens when the Church of Satan wants to start infiltrating your school and bring their students over here and set up clubs? I told him that, Austin, probably 7-8 years ago. And now the Church of Satan is setting up satanic clubs, after-school program clubs in schools, and attempting to do it nationwide. This is coming, guys. And if you sit here and don't believe it's going to happen, you're going to get caught on the short side of this thing. You've got to be aware of the fact these guys are playing for blood, literally. And they don't care what they do to your children, because the earlier indoctrination into the rituals of Lucifer and witchcraft and Harry Potter and all this crap that's out there now by these Satanists out in Hollywood has infiltrated the minds and the hearts of these children, because they want these children to be open for demonic possession and to be led by these guys. And I've talked about this 100 times on this show already, how this is what the Kabbalah does. It allows them to participate in the power of Lucifer to get what they want in this holographic universe that we live in, and all they want is for him to serve them and to feed them energy through these rituals they do. That's how the thing shakes out, and that's what's coming to the school near you, Austin. What do you think about Satan clubs in school?
It's pretty sadistic, to be honest with you, but it doesn't surprise me to the point of what we've seen in the last 10 to 15 years, as I was just mentioning, because you're right, this agenda, everything has been pushing us closer and closer and closer to this. We've basically indoctrinated kids also through these very, very satanic video games like Diablo and some of the other ones that came out years ago as computer games, and now they've morphed into these PlayStation 3 and Xbox, you know, 360 games that are incredibly realistic. I've seen some of them before. Usually I've never played any of those weird ones. I always like, you know, the shooting ones, but even those, I'm not involved in those much. But it's interesting because you're right. In the 90s, when they came out with some of those weird games like that, they were kind of taboo at first. A lot of people didn't play them. A lot of people found them very odd. And over the years, they became more and more popular. And now some of those games on PlayStation are some of the top-selling games in the world, and they're all based on satanic agendas. Some of them are flat out. I know one of the games, I think it's like Diablo 4, the whole point of the game is basically to, like, you go into hell and you try and kill off all these demons, or else they basically overtake you. It's really bizarre. And you got to understand, these are video games that 12, 13, 14-year-old kids are playing, and they're not just playing them. They're engulfed in them on a daily basis for hours on end. So they're pushing this agenda at every single angle, through the music, through the movies, through the media, through the video games, everything. And now they're bringing it into the schools full-blown now, as you see. And it's from every angle, to the point now where if your child isn't actively involved in very, very strong Christian behavior, you know, through family, through church, through a Christian school, it's going to be almost impossible to keep them from being exposed and involved in this type of behavior. That's why it's so important, guys, as parents, you have to make sure you monitor what your kids are being involved in, what they're being exposed to, what they're doing, what video games they're playing, and, you know, cell phones, everything. And it doesn't mean you have to sit there and be a micromanager and have a switch behind them every 5 seconds, but you've got to make sure you know what's going on, because this stuff is getting so bizarre now. And like Dad said, man, they're playing for blood. This isn't a joke anymore.
Well, here's a little thing from Alan West, from former Congressman Alan West's website. He goes, and while the Democrats continue to try to own the position of being for the party of rights, civil rights, workers' rights, women's rights, gay rights, lesbian rights, bisexual rights, transgender rights. The newly leaked DNC emails confirm the worst fears that they certainly are not a party of Christian rights. And here's what they're saying in this, in these emails. This is what they're saying. More disturbing revelations about the DNC continue to come to light as hacked emails continue to be published online, exposing the radical left for who they really are for the whole world to see. One of the latest developments to surface are emails that show the Democratic Party was working with anti-religious freedom groups to get around religious liberty laws that protect our First Amendment right to believe what we want, worship where we want, and live out our beliefs both publicly and privately. I mean, this, the mayor of Houston, that ridiculously militant lesbian, I got to tell you a story about what happened in Houston one time. I got to tell you the story in a second. But she tried to get all the pastors in the town there in Houston to give them her the sermons that they were going to preach before they preached it for the approval from the government before they could speak it from the pulpit. I mean, what is she smoking, crack? What's wrong with her? Houston is a huge, huge, huge gay and lesbian and transgender town. I didn't realize that back into the 90s. And I remember, Austin, you remember this too because I know you remember it. We were at the big mall there in the Houston, the Galleria Mall. There was a Versace store there, and Sharon was going to look at some jeans, which are massively overpriced, and I really wasn't planning on buying her any jeans, but she just wanted to try them on. And you were with me. I think you were 8 or 9 years old.
Yep.
20 years ago. And I remember we walked into the Versace store, and it's ridiculously overpriced stuff, and we walked into the second room, which is right next to the first room. They opened up a second store there that had a crosswalk in it, and there was a gay poster on the wall with two guys embracing, like, in each other's laps. And I walked over to Sharon, and this is 20 years ago, and the sales lady was there, and I said, "We're not going to buy anything from the store." I said, "You guys have open display of homosexual pornography on the wall." And I said, "I'm not going to support this." And the lady looked at me, and she just almost started crying. And she says, "Will you please, please, please tell my manager?" And I said, she said, "I have had so many people walk out because of this. And they refuse to buy anything." And I said, "Sure, bring him over here. I'll talk to him." So the guy comes over there. He's a militant gay. And, you know, I don't have a problem with him being gay. I really don't even care. They don't even show up on my radar. If that's what they want to do, I can't fuss at him and make him stop. I just want to be involved in it. So I said to him, I said, "Look," I said, "here's the deal, buddy. By this time, you know, you and Mom were standing outside, and I was in there talking to him, and you guys could hear me. And I said to him, I said, "Look, I don't care what you do in your private life, and I don't even care if you put homographic pornography on the walls in here. You just have to have it posted on the front door when people walk in so they don't expose their children to it. That basically this contains this has got homographic pornography, homosexual pornography on the walls in this building, in this, you know, in this store, and so we just won't come in here." I said, "But when you let us come in here with an 8-year-old child, now I got to go home and try to explain this to him." I said, "This is stupid. I shouldn't have to explain this to an 8-year-old. And the guy got so mad. It ended up in a doggone screaming contest with each other. And finally, I just told him, dude, I said, "I'm not going to talk to you. I don't even care. I'm talking to you because your salesperson has asked me to speak to you." Now, remember, I was 40 years old then. I was in really good shape and a lot younger, a lot more testosterone, apparently. And I just basically I just unleashed on him. And so then I called up the mall manager, the head guy at the mall, and I told him what had happened. And we went through there a few weeks later, and that poster was gone. Now, the sad part about that is now, because of everything that's happened with this transgender rights and all this sicko stuff, you can't even – I would probably have been arrested for doing what I did. Because I got all adamant about this stuff, or else they would have the police come and talk to me or whatever. I mean, but Austin, do you remember that, son?
Oh, yeah, I remember. I remember very clearly.
Yeah, and you were like 8 years old, and I told the guy, I said, "I got to deal with this garbage stuff that you have on the wall. He's going to remember this filth for the rest of his life because sometimes what is seen cannot be unseen." And I wanted to share that with you guys, since this is where it started, because not enough people walked out of these stupid stores doing this crap. And didn't tell the managers. And we've tolerated it and tolerated it and tolerated it until now they want to put men in our bathrooms with our little girls. And that's where it's gone to with Target. That's where it's gone to with Target. We were talking to our neighbor yesterday, and he said he was over at Target the other day, and the general manager was gay. All the guys working at the registers were gay, and they were flirting with each other. And he said he finally told his wife, who was getting a refund there, "I don't ever want to come in this store again. I've had enough of this." And guys, listen to me.
We as Christians should not be supporting businesses that are openly anti-Christian, period.
Yep.
Now, I can't be any more direct than that, okay? Don't be supporting them. You know, support businesses like Health Masters. You know, give money to Doug Hagman. Give money to Dave Hodges. You know, support Paul McGuire. Support Steve Quayle if you're going to buy gold. Buy companies that you know who these people are, who you're supporting. You know, and then thank you for supporting Health Masters. But gosh, guys, we got to stand. I mean, I won't even go to Starbucks because of their militant homosexual support. I won't do it. I won't go to Starbucks. I won't go to Target. I told Sharon, I said, I don't care if Target has it, nobody else has it. We're not going there. It doesn't make any difference. Order it off Amazon. Somebody will, you'll find something on Amazon that's suitable. You know, get it on Prime. You know, it'll be here 2 days. You have to drive. But guys, listen to me. We've got to stand in the aggregate. We've waited too long. We've got to stand in it now. It's time. Austin, what do you think?
No, you're 100% right. Honestly, I couldn't have said it any better. I remember that whole situation. I actually remember that situation very vividly. I still remember part of that poster, too, as sick as that is. Because as you were saying,
I almost got in a fight with this guy. I know you did. I mean, he almost drew down on me. And I looked at him. I said, dude, you don't want to go there. I said, you're fixing to make a horrible mistake. And I mean, it was because he got so angry. And here's what I said to him. And if this offends anybody, listen, well, it's not going to offend my audience. God, if anybody I would have offended, quit listening to me a long time ago. Here's what I said to him. I said, look, I don't care what you do. I don't care if you're a flaming queer. I don't care what you do. I don't even care. I don't care what you do in your private life. I don't care who you're involved with. It means nothing to me. You leave me and my family out of it, and you keep this crap off the walls in a public place. And he looked at me. Oh, he got hot. Now he's yelling at me. I'm yelling at him. And I think to myself, God, I'm going to get in a fight with this gay guy. Because he was that militant about his beliefs. Because he was going to force his homosexual propaganda pornography down everybody's throat who walked in that building. Who walked in his store. And guys, you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to put up with it. You don't have to buy anything there. And you can leave and you can complain to the mall managers. We have rights, and we can have our rights, and we can exercise them with our pocketbooks. Here I am 20 years later, I'm still pissed off what he did. And see, that's how we have to get. We have to get to the point where we're going to say, I'm not taking this crap anymore. And that's where Donald Trump is. That's why a billionaire is running for the White House, because he's not taking the crap anymore, because he's watched the United States go down the tube here, and then you'll be getting flushed. And then we got the wicked witch of Washington, the blood queen who wants in next. I mean, are you kidding me? Oh, God, Austin. Go ahead and start another story. I got to get off this topic.
Well, health topic here. Got a good article for you guys. This is a new study published in the Journal of Physiological Anthropology. This is pretty cool. It's on fermented foods. Lacto-fermentation is a process which naturally occurring bacteria feed on the sugars and starches in a food. During this process, lactic acid is produced, and it's responsible for that sharp or tangy taste and smell. Well, this is interesting because lacto-fermentation creates a beneficial culture of healthy bacteria, enzymes, vitamin C, B vitamins, and omega-3 fats. The natural fermentation has been shown to not only preserve food, but help retain essential nutrients as well. The enzymes help to break down food in a more digestible form, putting less strain on the digestive tract while making it easier for our bodies to absorb nutrients from other foods. One of the top products that they said in this article was from this emerging research was probiotic foods such as sauerkraut, that it massively supports the immune system and also has super strong anti-inflammatory properties to protect the body against chronic diseases like diabetes, Crohn's, celiac, irritable bowel syndrome, and depression. And I wanted to bring this up because I've had a few people email us and call us recently that have been having significant issues with gastrointestinal problems. And guys, the first thing you have to understand, if this is going on, have to cut out the GMO food, the glyphosate-laced food. You have to start eating very, very clean organic food. That's the first thing. But secondly, also making sure you're getting good supplements in your diet and adding stuff like this into your diet, such as sauerkraut. It's a very, very good, naturally derived probiotic. It's cheap. It's easy to cook with. You can make all kinds of stuff with it. Dad, I know you love sauerkraut. You eat it all the time. I mean, I don't know if you eat it. How often do you eat it?
Well, as often as mom will make it, a lot of times you can get it in jars now, and it's just, you know, it's already fermented. You just heat it up in the pan.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, it takes 2 or 3 minutes. And I mean, when I was a kid, we didn't heat it up. We cooked it, and we also threw a bunch of pork chops in with it. and I don't do that anymore, but you could use lamb chops. Lamb chops taste pretty good, just give it some flavor. But sauerkraut is one of the best tasting foods, and it's incredibly good for digestive health. And it's a fermented product. It's just absolutely amazing what it does to your health and the nutrients that are in it. And you, when you go to these fairs over in Germany, you'll still find these places that have the raw sauerkraut that's been laying around fermenting for a couple of weeks. And they'll dish it up on a plate and you just drink and eat it. It's a huge, huge staple. It was in the German diet, you know, 70, 80 years ago. But now they're just as messed up as we are as far as their diets over there. They really are. It's pretty bad. And I was joking about my relative, much like sauerkraut, with my relative last time I was over there. And I asked them, how else do you eat sauerkraut? They don't even eat sauerkraut anymore. And I don't know why. I guess it was a social engineering thing they wanted to take out of the German population. But they did when I was a kid. My grandfather wanted it all the time. My mom wanted it all the time. I ate it all the time as a kid. It's a super healthy product, and it's one of the best things you could do for digestive health, along with kombucha. Kombucha is another really, that's the fermented tea. I try to drink at least one or two of those a day. And I like it now. I didn't care for it when I first started drinking it, but I actually developed a taste for it. And it's pretty good. I actually enjoy it, especially when it's ice cold. And so I'll drink it when I'm outside in the hot sun sometimes, and it's great. But any kind of fermented beverage like that, especially the sauerkraut or the kombucha and the probiotics that we have at the office, anything that you can put into your intestinal tract to help keep it healthy. And if you've ever been on a cycle of antibiotics, it's so important to do the sauerkraut, the yogurt with the acidophilus in it, and also the supplements that we use to restore that acidophilus back into your system to keep your immune system restored. Because remember, about 80% of your immune system resides in your gut. And it's all tied together with the probiotics. And a lot of this stuff it's like fourth dimensional stuff. It does all kinds of things with epigenetics and with quantum entanglement that you don't understand, that I don't understand, that we don't understand as human beings, but it deals with different dimensions. And it's just how food works and how energy is processed in the body. And it's something that's so very important that we all do that. I mean, I've got a friend of mine right now. He's in his mid-40s, and he's basically in the hospital right now having a stress test. It looks like they may have to do bypass surgery because his heart's not working right. You know, one of the biggest things people don't realize is the heart has to maintain turbidity. In other words, it has to stay in a ball in the chest. And it's in the right place, and it can't become flaccid or soft and start falling down inside of the chest. Because when it does that, it loses the ability to close the valves correctly, because you have a round valve now with an oval hole. And what the doctors do, they go and replace the valves and try to do it that way. B vitamins, methylated B vitamins, in many cases are a deficiency in people like this, and that's why the heart won't maintain its stiffness or turbidity. And when they start on methylated B vitamins, the heart picks right back up again, goes back to where it's supposed to be again, and it allows the body to the valves to work correctly again. And we had years ago, we had a friend of ours with one of the problems was her valves weren't working in her heart. And I explained all of this to her, and I said, please don't go in and have valve replacement surgery. I said, number one, you can die, and number two, I guarantee you 99% of the time, you're going to have a massive personality change. It's going to be a massive personality change. I said, you're not going to believe it could get better. It could get worse, but most of the time it gets worse. And they didn't listen to me. And the lady was a very strong Christian at that time. And basically she came out, total personality change. She's divorced now. The whole life went disastrous. I mean, awful. Gained 100 pounds. I mean, the sad part about this is that when you start doing heart surgery, for things that be corrected through nutritional supplementation, and I'm not saying it's going to correct it every single time, because sometimes certain types of drugs can cause heart valve damage. But guys, always try the nutritional approach first. Always try the least invasive approach. Here's what I used to say when I was on the seminar circuit, when I talked to everybody about children that had ADD or ADHD. Now follow my line of reasoning with me on this. Let me explain to you what I did. Remember, I'm in a stadium. Either it's a basketball arena or it's a stadium. And I've got anywhere from 20,000 to 40,000 people there. Some of the smaller facilities may have had 15 or 16,000 people. And I'd say to them, look, here's the thing. Say, you'll spend $100 on a pair of tennis shoes or going out for dinner or buying something for your family. You know, let me ask you guys a question. You know, we've got a program that's called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. It takes a person through a systematic process on lowering blood pressure, cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar. It has special reports in it on high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, cancer, ADD and autism, and learning disabilities in children, and natural approaches that can be done for ADD and ADHD. So before you put a child on Ritalin, which is a Schedule II drug, in the same category with morphine, opium, Percodan, and Demerol, doesn't it make sense to try a dietary change first? and go with the least invasive program, if you get a huge result with kids, which we do in our office, who change their diets to get off the red dyes and the blue dyes and start on omega-3 fats, why wouldn't you try that first instead of putting that child on a Schedule II drug in the same category with morphine because it's so horribly addictive? And if the military finds out and the child was on that drug, they won't even allow them to serve in the armed forces of the United States, because methylphenidate and methylphenamine, which is basically meth, are almost identical in their molecular structure. So doesn't it make more sense to try a natural approach first with ADD or ADHD before you put a child on drugs? And I'd ask everybody to raise their hands, and like 99% of people raise their hands. And see, this is the point I'm trying to make on the show today. Doesn't it make sense if you know that metformin causes pancreatic cancer? Doesn't it make sense to try to go on a healthy diet with supplements to try to bring your blood sugar back down before you start taking drugs that cause cancer? Doesn't it make sense if you have elevated blood pressure to try natural approaches to bring the blood pressure back down, maybe with lifestyle choices and weight loss, before you start taking drugs for the blood pressure? And here's another thing. If you've got a problem with anything, high blood pressure, depression, diabetes, cancer, whatever, and you change your diet and it all goes away, doesn't it make sense, had you been on that correct diet to begin with, that you never would have had that problem? If you have adult onset diabetes and you change your diet and if diabetes goes away, which it will in many cases with adult onset diabetes, doesn't it make sense, had you been on that diet to begin with, you never would have come down with diabetes? Guys, this isn't rocket science that we're teaching here. What it is just a common sense approach. If you have a child who comes down with autism at 2 years of age when they get their immunizations, and the second child when they get 2 years of age, they get autism when they get their immunizations, why do you want to inject the third kid? Are you kidding me? Really? Before I did any of that, I would think, maybe I need to do some research on these immunizations, because everybody's talking about the side effects of immunizations, and since I don't have to take this kid and get him immunized before he goes to school anyhow, let me just wait until he's 4 or 5 when his immune system is a little better established, and not do all these shots until he's 5. Do the shots if I have to put him in school. Then it'll give me 4 or 5 years not to have to make this decision. Or I can just go to the county if I've got to put that child into daycare, and I can get in a religious immunization waiver, which you can still do in most states, and not immunize him that way. Doesn't that make more sense? And just maybe, while I'm pregnant, I just need to take the right vitamins and the supplements and not GMO foods. And maybe I shouldn't drink a shot of Jack Daniels every single night when I'm pregnant. Maybe that's a good idea too, you know, because it may cause fetal alcohol syndrome, which is a big problem with kids. Guys, please listen to me. None of this stuff is rocket science. It's not. It's just common sense thinking through what you're doing and how it's going to affect your children or your spouse. Husband says, I don't care if I'm 100 pounds overweight. I don't make any difference to me. Okay, all right, well, okay. What if you die of a heart attack and you're 42 years old? What if you die of a heart attack and you leave your wife and your kids with no health insurance and no life insurance? Made a big difference to them, didn't it? Same thing with you ladies. I mean, really? How bad does it have to get before you start making healthier choices? See, that's what we do here at Health Masters. That's why I've written all of these articles that you can read for free on the website. And I want to thank you guys all for tuning into the talk show on a regular basis, because we're trying to help you with that too. And so finally I got to the point where I started thinking, well, wait a minute, I've got to become politically involved because of all this mess with immunizations and all these poisons they're putting into the food. That's why we're doing the talk show, because I'm talking about all these other news stories. It was so funny, Austin. My friends are calling me up now and saying, man, we thought you were just kind of just saying stuff and exaggerating, which I don't do, about what's going on in the economy and what's going on in the political realm. But after Hillary Clinton didn't get indicted, we realized that every single thing you've told us is true. And we want more information now. Guys, we've lost the country right now. It's been jacked. It's been hijacked. We've got a chance this fall to hopefully, by the grace of God, to get it back. But it's going to take all of us working together. Okay, awesome. I'm done pontificating.
Well, it is, too, and that's why, I mean, even Trump now is coming out and blatantly saying he knows what's going on. He flat out said, I'm afraid the election is going to be rigged. I have to be honest. He was telling the audience in reference to how Bernie Sanders lost his primary race, and he said that he was only able to secure the Republican nomination because he wanted a massive landslide, suggested the same margin of victory might be necessary to overturn Hillary's trick in the general election. And what's interesting is, I mean, even he's coming out and saying this now because he knows they're going to do every single thing they can to try and put her in office. Guys, listen, they didn't drop those FBI charges to simply have her lose this election. Everybody's thinking this is going to be just some, you know, little walk through the park. Oh, he's going to win in this and that. In a true, absolute, real election that's not fixed, I don't have any type of question about it. I know he would completely nail it. But they didn't drop those FBI charges for just random. They specifically did it because she was made and groomed and set up to be the next globalist dictator in the White House. That's what they planned for, guys. So we need to do everything we can to let people know that they need to be watching out for this stuff. We need to be notifying everybody that this is what you need to look out for, that this is not a joke, because they're going to do everything they can to try and keep Trump out of the office, because he's going to be a giant wrench in the cogwheels of the globalist if he gets in there with how his personality is and what he really believes.
No, you're right. You're right. Look at Illinois right now. Their governor just signed a bill forcing Christian doctors and pregnancy centers to promote abortion. I mean, abortion is now the official state-preferred choice for Illinois' women in unexpected pregnancies after Governor Bruce Grauner signed Senate Bill 1564 into law Friday afternoon. Grauner, who's a Republican, unbelievable, held veto power over the legislation, which Democrats pushed through on a strictly party-line vote and put on his desk May the 31st. But he went against the grain of his own party in approving the legislation. This guy should not ever be put back in office again. And see, this is the problem. We've just compromised. Okay, we'll play politics. We've got to give and take here and there. There are just some places, guys, with we don't need to give and take. There's just certain places we got to just say, Ganook, no, not now, not ever. We're not letting Satan clubs come into our schools. Are you joking me? That's what I told the guy from the school where my kids went. I said, you're taking these guys in now. You're taking in Hanukkah, and you're taking in, you know, Kwanzaa. And I said, soon the Satan group's going to come in here and want to have their clubs. And I said, what are you going to tell them? No. I said, you're supposed to be a Christian school. You don't have to take people in here who aren't Christians. You don't have to sing songs on Kwanzaa and Hanukkah in a Christian school. You don't have to be all things to all men. You don't have to be that in a Christian school. You need to realize you need to stand for the fact that you're called All Saints and you're based on biblical Christian values. If they don't want to come over here, if the Jews don't want to come to school here, or the Muslims don't want to come to school here, let them go somewhere else. It's okay. It's a private school. They don't have to come here if they don't want to, and we're not going to cater to them. But he didn't do that. He caved in. That's what he's done. The slippery slope of political correctness will take you to places where you don't want to go, force you to do things you don't want to do, hang out with people you don't want to be with. It's like that old song, Mama Told Me Not to Come, back in the 70s. I don't know what I'm doing in this place because Mama told me not to come. Guys, listen to me. Sometimes you need to listen to your mama. Sometimes you need to listen to the Word of God. In fact, you need to listen to the Word of God all the time and realize that when the Word of God says don't go there, you don't go there. When Mama says don't go there, chances are Mama's right. All right, what's your next story, Oz?
This one's also on the pasteurized milk. And let me pull it up here. We talked about it before. We have an article on our website. You guys can read about the dangers of pasteurized milk. Now, this guy is Dr. Walter Millett, MD, PhD, from the Harvard School of Public Health. He is the second most cited scientist in the entire field of clinical medicine. So this guy is not some yak that's just coming up with random conclusions. He is extremely educated in this area. And he basically goes on to say the entire idea and the recommendation of what the government recommends we do with milk is complete total bunk. Milk today is nothing but basically highly processed milk-like substance and pasteurized, homogenized, with synthetic minerals and everything else added to it. According to Dr. Mark Hyman from MD, a leading nutrition expert, milk and dairy products in general are something that people should avoid at all costs. Not only is milk a pro-inflammatory food, at least least the kind that is homogenized and pasteurized, but it's also counterintuitive in terms of strengthening bone and reducing one's risk of disease. They go on here and show that most of the milk has added vitamin D and calcium to it that absolutely has no beneficial effect on the body at all. Look it up and do some research. Most of the calcium that's added to milk to make the milk stronger for your bones is calcium bicarbonate. It's shell. It's rock. That's all it is. They add it to it. Oh, there's this much calcium in it. It's great for you. Same thing with synthetic vitamin D. Also, too, a huge factor of this is the processed dairy lacks the enzymes needed for proper digestion. And we go into detail on that on our article on Health Masters on that. When milk's pasteurized, the lactase enzyme that digests lactose is 100% destroyed, which is why many people suffer from lactose intolerance and can't use any type of dairy product. This is why. This is why a lot of times when we find people that have a, like, personally myself, I've seen this with multiple people. If I go and I'm somewhere and I have ice cream, which I don't do very often, or I've had milk, which I never do anymore, and it's pasteurized and homogenized, just regular milk, within a few hours, my sinuses are running. My nose is running. I mean, completely running, almost like I got a cold, and it does it for about a day, and it's done. If I drink raw goat's milk or raw cow's milk, just straight up raw, I can literally drink 2, 3, 4 glasses of it and doesn't do a single thing to me. That's why, because it doesn't have the enzymes in it. They're all completely void. Another thing, too, is they're starting to say now that drinking processed milk can actually increase your risk of cancer. The calcium in milk has been shown to increase a man's risk of prostate cancer as well, and a lot of that has to do with a lot of synthetics they're doing in it, and also, too, with the hormones and antibiotics that they're pumping into these cows on top of being pasteurized and homogenized. You're getting all these different synthetic chemicals like estrogen and hormones and antibiotics and everything else that are going into them, which are causing the immune system breakdown. So the whole thing about you need to drink your glass of milk a day and it's good for your teeth and your bones is complete and total bogus, and more people are starting to figure this out now. So that's why I wanted to kind of touch on that today, because we have the article on our website that we put up a while back, but this is just more and more now. More research scientists are starting to figure this out.
Austin, I want you to post that article on HealthMaster. I want you to send it out as an email blast.
Okay.
Okay. Just you know, give reference for it, make sure they can link back to the original article and get it out on the website, because I've talked about this so often. In fact, when you got the pericarditis 2 months ago, and you're almost 100% recovered from that now, you know, we had you on raw goat's milk immediately.
Yep.
Raw goat's milk, because your digestion system was so messed up from being in the hospital that we had to put you on raw goat's milk. You went through multiple gallons of raw goat's milk, because we have a source for that locally. And that's the orphan's milk. That's the easiest milk you're going to digest. And say, well, it doesn't taste good. Whatever. Who cares? It's good for you. It's actually healthy, especially if it's being fed organic feed. So, guys, please, don't drink pasteurized, homogenized milk. It's pretty much just poison, especially the stuff from the grocery store that's not organic. If you're getting grass-fed, non-homogenized milk, slightly pasteurized, it's okay. I'm not excited about it. It's okay, but it's got to be organic. You know, but the raw stuff is the best if you can buy it legally in the state that you're in, or you know somebody who's got a goat. And what you can do is you go to a local farm and garden store and ask them if they know anybody who buys goat feed and if they sell the milk, or the cows if they sell the milk. And chances are they do. Now, it'll probably be sold to you for animal consumption, and it's up to you whether you want to drink it or not. But the guys, the thing about it is this, you know, think through this for a second. If you're drinking milk anyhow, you might as well go and spend a few extra bucks a gallon for it and get the really good stuff, especially if you have kids at home. By the way, the religion of peace is now forcing the Austrian government in Vienna to bring the military and put them on the streets of Vienna. This is crazy. Starting from August the 1st, soldiers will perform 24-hour guard duty for 24 embassies and offices of international organizations located in the Austrian capital due to the religion of peace, which were previously guarded by police. Austrian media is reporting. The move is aimed at freeing up officers as the police force faces a staff shortage amid the ongoing refugee religion of peace crisis. The extra officers, I'm adding the religion of peace in there, by the way. The extra officers made available by the new measure will deal with the crime prevention, carry out patrol tasks, and tackle the ongoing refugee situation. The soldiers, most of whom initially served in the 13th Armored Infantry Battalion, underwent a special 10-day training course before taking up their new posts. guys, you know, I don't even know what to say about this. They're having to bring military in to handle the religious apiece. This is what Soros is doing. This is what Merkel is doing. I mean, what do you think about this, Austin? I mean, soldiers on the street? I mean, really?
Well, I like the Czech Republic's idea of it more, as far as let's start arming the citizens. Let's start bringing in, you know, the private militias, the citizens of the country. Let's have them do it. Let's have them allowed to be their own security. Let's train them properly. Let's teach them weapon techniques. Let's teach them, you know, how to properly use weapons, clean weapons, train with weapons, not muzzle sweep people, and allow citizens to be able to cover each other. Because no matter how much military you bring in, they can never be everywhere at one time. We've seen that every time we invade a country. It doesn't matter how much military we put in there unless we flat-out airstrike the entire country and turn it into a glass parking lot. There's still people somewhere around everywhere. That's why when they're in Afghanistan, they did everything they could to try and get in good with the locals so the locals would turn in a lot of these terrorists over there. The problem is it still didn't work. So the only way to do that is to start allowing the citizens to provide proper protection, just like we have in the United States. The whole reason we had a militia to begin with, that was the whole point. We did not want a formal military to stand on our soil and be able to point their rifles at us. We wanted the citizens of this country, the Americans, the patriots, to be able to stand up and defend themselves and defend their country and defend their family and neighbors when the time came. And that's what everybody has to get through their head, is we have to stop being reliant on the government. The problem is now the militarized police and the military that are coming in, especially over in Europe, it's becoming so heavy-handed, and what they're doing is, at the same time they're doing this, they're trying to take everybody's firearm or rights away, like they're trying to do in the United States as well right now. And when they do that, the complete opposite happens. The government can come in, they can allow false flags to happen, and it doesn't matter. Then all they do is say, we need more military, we need more police state, we need more martial law, and nobody can do anything about it because the individual citizens are disarmed. So it's so important we keep those Second Amendment rights that a lot of the EU countries have completely lost now.
Austin, that was excellent. I couldn't have said that any better myself. I don't think anybody could have. Really well done. Everybody's listen to the archives of this and play that more than once. Thousands of Germans are now demanding Merkel's resignation, protests over the open-door immigration. This is from Zero Hedge. Speaking at an annual summer press conference in Berlin on July the 28th, a defiant Merkel ignored critics of her refugee policies, insisted there would be no change to her open-door migration stance. The problem for Merkel is that increasingly less of her countrymen share her sentiment. A recent poll found that two-thirds of Germans oppose a fourth term. It's not much. It got even much worse for Merkel yesterday when Bavaria's premier, a key coalition ally for Merkel's CDU, whose state bore the brunt of the recent attacks in Germany, took aim at the blithering idiot Chancellor Angela Merkel's open-door refugee policy on Saturday by rejecting her "We can do this" mantra. But worst of all, the anger is now openly spilled over from the top political ranks and the front pages of the local newspapers to the streets, as more than 5,000 people protested in Berlin and thousands more throughout Germany over the blithering idiot Merkel's open-door policy that many have blamed for the four brutal terrorist attacks that have left dozens dead. Indeed, the local population appears to have finally had genug, enough. After the axe rampage, the shooting spree, the machete attack, and the suicide bombing in a span of a week has stunned Germany. Well, it's about time. Maybe they can do more than we've done. Maybe they can get a Donald Trump going over there. I remember I was sitting in a glass shop in Venice, Italy, and they said to me, the guy said to me, he goes, "We need a Donald Trump in Italy. Italy is in trouble. We have to get somebody like Donald Trump who can bring us back together again and bring back nationalism to Italy, and we've got to get out of the European Union." He said, back when I was a kid, he said, before we got in the EU, you could spend $50 approximately worth of lira and buy a pair of nice leather shoes made in Italy. He said, that same pair of shoes now cost you $150 to $200. That's how the Italians could no longer afford their own goods, because the euro is too strong for the Italian economies. And it's destroying all of us who are working for a living in Italy. Guys, listen to me. It's all about a new world currency, digital currency, a one world order, and worshiping the mark of the beast. That's what this whole thing's about. And guys, you've got to get that. These fallen angels never left, and they're at it again with their little demon buddies. And guys, it's just going to get worse and worse until we take the path of righteousness and stand back for the word, for the namesake of Jesus Christ and Yeshua, and we start to follow Yahweh again. And we get rid of these things like the Bohemian Grove 40-foot idol to Moloch. That thing just needs to go away. What's your next story, Austin?
Yeah, it does. This one's interesting now, too. A strong link between low omega-3 blood levels and depression have now been found again. We've talked about this so many times, and now a new, again, study out of Japan has found a significant correlation between depression symptoms and low levels of omega-3 fats in the bloodstream. The Japanese study results showed a strong correlation between depression and chronic inflammation. The study evaluated over 2,100 people over the age of 40 using standard 20-question tests for depression and then basically checked their blood levels through all the individuals. They found that high levels of DHA reduced the risk of depression by 42%,
right,
and high levels of EPA helped depression by 36%. And what's crazy about this is, I mean, you'd literally have to be almost living under a rock now if you haven't figured out that omega-3 fatty acids have some of the most important health benefits on the planet, and your body absolutely needs them. Anywhere from your cholesterol levels to cardiovascular health to brain function to energy to sex drive to everything. I mean, this is where it's at. That's what we always tell people all the time on the website. You know, our basic healthy lifestyle kit has the omega-3s and a couple other products. But even if you're just trying to go super basic, the Ultimate Multiple and the cod liver oil,
that's
those
right,
two together right there, it's like $50. And I mean, it'll last you probably a month, if not more, if you want to stretch it out some. But you can get incredibly good results from those two supplements by themselves because they hit your main bases. But guys, omega-3 fatty acids are important. If you're not taking them in your diet, you really need to look into them because, I mean, there's study after study after study now that's been directly linked omega-3s and all kinds of different health benefits. So, I mean, it's silly, honestly, not to take them if you're not taking them now.
I take them every night. I take a shot of black seed oil and a shot of cod liver oil, and I mix it with pomegranate juice at night. Every night I go to bed, just take I got a little glass. I put like a tablespoon or tablespoon and a half of each of those oils, and I fill it up with pomegranate juice. I take the shot all at once. Now I'm taking shots and hits of black seed oil and pomegranate juice. It's a little different than college days. but I feel great. I feel wonderful. So guys, yeah, multiple, the Ultimate Multiple and cod liver oil, can't go wrong with that. I mean, you can get more depth on some of the nutritional supplements that we use, but those two are phenomenal. By the way, Jamaica is now paying off its oil debts to Venezuela by shipping them food. That's how bad it's gotten in Venezuela. They're taking food for debt. Jamaica has announced that it's going to pay off oil debts with, it has with Venezuela with food, medication, and fertilizers instead of cash. The barter agreement comes at a time when Venezuela is basically suffering from food shortages and people are starving by the thousands. Jamaica's government announced the deal last Friday, saying the transfers will take place in the last quarter of this year and amount to $4 million. The oil for basic products exchange is taking place within a regional agreement known as Pedro Caribe that was signed in 2005 by Venezuela and 12 Caribbean states. The deal requires that the Caribbean nations to pay for half of the oil at market prices immediately. The remaining 50% can be paid up to 25 years later. Now I'm going to share something with you. Oh, by the way, Venezuela also just had a $100,000 cake to celebrate Hugo Chavez's birthday. Well, everybody in the streets are, boy, so many people are starving to death. So I thought you'd like that too. But here's what a guy told me yesterday, and I've never heard this before. And he said this to me. He's from British Guiana. That's where Jones went in and, you know, had all those people commit suicide. Jim Jones back in the, I think it was in the 70s. And what's interesting about this is he came over here like 30 years ago as a child, and he's a licensed general contractor now. And he said that the island up there, the one in the middle of the ocean, Austin, the one, you know, that's way out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, I forgot which one it was, it maintained its Commonwealth roots with Britain and is still prosperous and it's doing great. All of the Caribbean islands, they left England and they went on their own and established their own governments, as with many other British colonies around the world. And here's what he said. He used a term yesterday that I never thought or heard before. He said when they took their relationship and their link with Britain out and they decided to run and govern themselves, they removed the backbone of the foundation of the entire organism of the country that was like a living entity. And he said, and what happens without a spine and without a backbone that had been developed through hundreds of years of British rule, he said, the entire countries have fallen apart now. See, that's what they're trying to do to the United States. The backbone of our country is the Constitution.
Yep.
They're trying to gut it. And if they can remove the Constitution from us, take the backbone away, it'll leave nothing but just a jellied mass of what was once the United States of America. Remember, when Rome fell because of greed, because of alternative lifestyle choices, because of a contraction of the M1 money supply, all of these things happened to them. The same thing that happened to us now with these bankers that have done this Babylonian money magic for thousands of years. What happened was, when the Roman Empire lost its backbone and its structural stability, it plunged the entire world into the Dark Ages. They forgot how to even make concrete until almost 1,500 years later. It was crazy what happened. And guys, you know, I just was in Italy, and I looked at the Parthenon, and I looked at the Colosseum, and these monstrous structures that were poured in concrete thousands of years ago, and they're still standing. And what's interesting to me is this. If we take the backbone of the Constitution away from America, the entire infrastructure and the structure of our country is going to fall apart. And I told him yesterday, the guy's, the contractor's name is Blue. That's his nickname, B-L-U, like blue, like the color blue. And I told him, I said, Blue, I'm going to quote you on that. I said, that's a really good analogy that I've never heard, that all of the countries that left British rule and went on their own took their backbones out and they've all fallen apart. Guys, we've got to hold on to our Constitution no matter what. What do you think, Oz?
No, you're absolutely right. That is the answer. And that's why I mentioned earlier, I went on that little spiel for a minute ago. That whole thing is knit and held together by the Second Amendment. Because as soon as that amendment is stripped from us, the rest of the Constitution will fall that same year. I promise you, there's no question about it. You can't even argue that concept. Because every single country that has done that, that has allowed themselves to be disarmed, not even a month or two later, they immediately start putting restrictions on what they can say, what they can do, how they can travel, where they can go, who they can be with, who they can talk to. Everything starts becoming restricted. That's why it's so important we keep everybody on the same page in this country on the Second Amendment and make sure this is not a joke. We're all in unity and standing together as patriots holding together.
You're right, Austin. Guys, thank you for listening today. I love you guys. Thanks for listening to us. Thanks for supporting us. We appreciate you. We love you. Austin, go ahead and close.
Yes, guys, absolutely. We appreciate it. We're still trying to catch up a couple emails. If you guys send us in, we should have some responses out shortly. We've been getting a lot of them lately. We appreciate everything. Give us a call or email if you need anything at all. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.